Mr. Board Chairman, one second. Ma'am, your name again?
CO3 Kellerman.
Kellerman?
Mm-hmm.
Did you state that he's not very coherent?
No, he's not.
Does he understand anything?
I've been trying to have a conversation with him for the last 20 minutes. It's not been real successful.
Okay, appreciate that.
I'm giving you a shot, though. You might be able to.
No, we will do our best, and we'll certainly respect his rights to this hearing, but it's still important to understand if he's able to interact with us. So I appreciate that, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's do this. Good morning. Mr. Meacham, are you able to state your name and ABC number? Okay, for the record, I just had a discussion with Mr. Meacham, CO3, Officer Kellerman, and apparently Mr. Meacham is having some trouble communicating. He may not be completely coherent, but we are going to continue this hearing in fairness. So I will read a summary. Again, this hearing is for the Honorable, pardon me, Honorable. This question is for Mr. This is a phase 2 imminent danger of death commutation hearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. With us today is Mr. Michael Johnson, Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. The following is a summary of the application in question. Now, again, as I stated in the beginning, it would appear that Mr. Meacham is having trouble comprehending this hearing based on his health condition. But Mr. Mark Meacham, ABC number 033556, is 63 years old. He is currently serving a 21-year sentence for sexual assault, a dangerous repetitive offense. He was approximately 33 years old at the time of crime. His current period of incarceration is part and parcel of 3 consecutive 21-year prison terms, all for sexual assault, beginning in 1988. The first sentence, which has since expired in 2009, he has a pending 21-year prison sentence for 2 concurrent counts of sexual assault. He was found guilty by jury trial on July 14, 1989, and sentenced on September 8, 1989. He appealed his case, which was modified and affirmed on August 27, 1992. He has a criminal history dating back to 1973, which includes previous convictions for kidnapping and sexual assault, robbery, and assault with intent to commit rape. I think it's important in this case to read a very brief summary of the incident offense. Part of between September 20th, 1988 and September 21st, 1988, Mr. Meacham repeatedly sexually assaulted Diane Brooker-Rowley at her apartment at 4770 North 7th Street, apartment 2183 in Phoenix, Arizona. Mr. Meacham was apprehended by the Phoenix police while he was still present in the victim's apartment. The police had been called to the apartment by the victim's mother to check on her welfare. On July 14, 1989, Mr. Meacham was found guilty by a jury of 5 counts of sexual assault, all class 2 felonies, with 1 prior felony conviction. Regarding Mr. Meacham's imminent danger of death commutation application, he's asking for time served. According to Ames, the sentence end date would not be until approximately year 2051. Should commutation be granted, his release would be immediate. The purpose of Mr. Meacham's request for commutation is based on his diagnosis of glioblastoma multiforme, a form of brain cancer, with altered mental status, GERD, and hypertension. According to ABC and his IBD report, He has a near certain life expectancy of 4 months or less. He has a moderate history of discipline in the Arizona Department of Corrections from 1989 through 2014, with his last major in 1996 for conspiracy. This is his 16th time before the board. I believe it is fair to note that unless he was granted parole to a consecutive sentence, he was on a trajectory to serve in the Department of Corrections until the age of 96. And that's where I will begin the hearing. I probably should do this, and that is we have a notation to contact the medical site director at ASPC Lewis. So I'm going to go ahead and ask for that phone call to be made. And in this case, it's good that we have both an extension and a cell phone, but we need to make contact with
Executive Council, we're holding a hearing for Mr. Meacham, and the Honorable Mr. Lou Kawanis is conducting the hearing at this time.
Good morning.
Ma'am, this is Lou Kawanis, and I'm serving you as the panel lead for this hearing. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you, Doctor. I don't know if you participated in an imminent danger of death hearing yet, but what I just did was read a summary of the case for the board, and usually what we like to do is speak to a physician associated with the case so that we can ask some questions about the medical status of the inmate.
Okay.
Were you aware that there was going to be a hearing for Mr. Meacham this morning?
Yes, I did.
Thank you very much. And I recognize, because there's been quite a bit of medical information provided to the board, very specific medical information. Right now we have Mr. Meacham on video conference, and according to a CO3, and it seems very apparent, he does not seem to be coherent at this moment. Are you aware of his status right now in terms of his condition?
Yes, I am very well aware.
And perhaps you could give us a short version of his condition and where he's at in his cancer cycle.
Okay. Mr. Meacham, I believe you received paperwork from me. Was diagnosed about November of 2017. Had surgery, had multiple rounds of chemotherapy, initially also radiation therapy. At that time, his status was he was awake, alert, and was able to care for himself. He's been closely followed by the oncologist. He's been getting regular treatment. However, in the end of November of this year, he had to go through surgery again because of recurrence of the disease. And from that point, I think about a month later, he started really declining. He was pretty much more wheelchair-bound, and then he started having episodes where he was weak and started to fall, was hospitalized several times in January. And with each of those, he seemed to decline more, becoming more and more confused and less able to function, like eat and drink and talk clearly. At this point, he's taking very little. The nurses have to hand feed him. He will try to hand him something, and sometimes he doesn't know, like, how to, you know how you would instinctively take a cup from someone? He kind of looks and he's kind of confused as to what to do with his hands and what to do with the cup.
So he's gotten to the point where he's pretty much bedbound now. Is there anything else I need to...
I think that was a very good summary. I'm not fairly aware, and I have been through his request file. Are you aware of any family support or any regular visitors or any planning?
I know that he gets phone calls very often from a sister. That's the only, because I'm not usually here when there are visits. So that part I'm not familiar with, but I do know that when I've been physically present, he has spoken on the phone with his sister in the past when he was a lot clearer.
Okay, Doctor, that was a wonderful summary, and I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. I don't have any questions from my fellow board members. Doctor, you're certainly welcome to stay on the phone. I recognize that you're busy. Would you prefer to continue with the hearing, or do you need to continue with your work at the conference?
Well, I mean, I could listen because it's not something where I have to leave my desk right this minute, so.
Well, I appreciate that, Doctor, and perhaps staying on as long as reasonable might help just in case we have some follow-up questions. I guess my concern would be that I hang up the phone with you and then have a sudden need for a medical question, but I do appreciate that we have provided a tremendous amount of detailed medical information in this commutation package.
Okay.
Thank you, Doctor. I'll continue with the hearing.
Okay, so I will hang on. Do you want me to put myself on mute? Or?
Yes, that would probably be best for everyone so that you can continue your work.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll continue the hearing. Well, this is a unique situation. I recognize with compassion that Mr. Meacham is what appears to be following in his condition and is struggling probably, and certainly I say this to be clinical, not to be cold, but with some end of life issues. I think this is a good time to mention that I take solace in hearing these types of hearings that individuals inside the Department of Corrections are continuing to receive care. And according to the summary of Dr. Paul, he has received quite a bit of care, to include surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. It is unfortunate that he has one of those, it would sound like a very aggressive form of cancer, and in an area that is very tough to treat. To continue questions with Mr. Meacham, we've certainly given a good faith attempt. I'm going to see if there's any sort of discussion at this point from federal board members before I just continue with the normal order of the hearing.
Yes, I'd just like to say this, Honorable Mr. Gowanis, this is Suji Wright. Ms. Meacham's fortunate that his sister, no one else from the family is participating today, since he is incapable of speaking for himself. It would have been very helpful, and I don't know why, for not have anyone to speak on his behalf or for us to know exactly what is going to happen if the governor should grant the clemency of this board were to make that recommendation. We don't know what would happen, how he would get to wherever he needs to go. And it's just an unfortunate situation when family members are not, or family members or caretakers are not available to participate in hearings. I just want to say that, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Doctor. And I will ask a question right now of our CO3, Officer Kellerman?
Yes.
Have you been able to listen in on the hearing?
Yeah, a little bit, because he doesn't want to hear it.
Okay, I was going to give Mr. Meacham a good faith attempt If he wanted to state anything to the board at this point, certainly I would ask you to ask him one more time, in fairness. Otherwise, we're going to go into discussion and make a decision shortly, okay, ma'am?
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll give him the time and see if he'll accept it.
Is that responding?
He's not responding at all.
Okay, well then, Officer Kellerman, I will just ask you to stay on the phone. The board is going into discussion at this point. For the sake of decorum, I will state that we usually ask if the individual appearing before the board has a final statement to make before we go into discussion, but it does not appear that he is capable of interacting with the board right now. So the board will be going into discussion, and Officer Kellerman, when we come to our decision, I will certainly ask you to pass it along to Mr. Meacham.
Okay.
Thank you. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is a very unfortunate case, and tragic to say the least on numerous levels, but I do want to begin by saying that and there's a reason why I made a note of this at the end of my summary, that Mr. Meacham was on a trajectory to serve in the Department of Corrections until the age of 96, or approximately 96. The reason why I state that is he only completed his first 21 years inside the Department of Corrections. He did not receive parole to his next consecutive sentence during his second term. And there were numerous instances during the parole cycle where he refused to appear before the board. So there were very real victims in his history, not to mention how disturbing and heinous his last crime was. He also had a history of sexual crimes dating back to 1973, and the criminal justice system saw fit to sentence him to 321-year sentences consecutively. So, in addition to the issues such as Mr. Meacham not being able to interact with the board and not having any sort of care plan beyond the order of the Department of Corrections, I would say that independent of that, I would not support an IDD clemency recommendation for an individual that was given, I won't say a life prison sentence, but a virtual life prison sentence, considering his age of crime and the number of consecutive sentences given to him. And I do not think that we could make an effective recommendation to the governor. But that's where we get the discussion. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. I agree with you. I just don't think we have enough, we don't have enough information because we have no destination for him, no medical care plan, and obviously someone in his condition cannot just be released without all of that in place. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Before I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, unless there's further information from my colleagues. And that motion is, well, just give me 1 second, because I have a very large package. And my motion is regarding Mr. Mark Meacham, ADC number 033556. The motion is not to pass Mr. Meacham to phase 2, and that is my motion.
Second.
Great.
Agree.
Give me 1 second. And I'm sorry, you seconded?
I did.
Okay, thank you. Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed upon by the Honorable Barbara Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gary Rittenhouse. Officer Kellerman?
Yes.
He may not be cognizant, so to speak, but if you could please pass to Mr. Meacham that his request for this hearing to be, excuse me, I made a wrong check here. I'm going to make that motion again. I apologize for board members. I said not to pass to phase two. I will make this motion again, and that is regarding Mr. Mark Meacham, ADC number 033556, and that is not to recommend to the governor, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
I apologize. Change of the box. Okay, again, Officer Kellerman, the board has voted unanimously, pardon me, not to recommend clemency to the governor. So if you can pass that along to Mr. Meacham, we will bring this hearing to a close.